When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everyone? Tara Roberts here, and welcome into the Dear Miss Fantasy Show for week 13. We're the official mailbag show for Player Profiler. I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. It was a great Thanksgiving for me. I'm a fantasy content creator, but this is not my like 100% full-time job. I put out a lot of content. Maybe sometimes it might look full-time, but it is not. So I also, work, you know, and, between that and fantasy football content during football season, I actually do not have a day off, like period, like at all. And this was at Thanksgiving was actually the first day that I literally had nothing to do. Now, granted, I had to cook. I didn't have to, that was a choice, but, but it was for my family. And made me happy. So I had a nice, wonderful, relaxing morning. No work, no nothing to do, no live streams to do. Got to make a nice big breakfast for my kids and then cook them some Thanksgiving food that I hope they enjoyed. I think they enjoyed it. But it was wonderful. It was a good Thanksgiving. And I hope that Thanksgiving was wonderful for all of you. And I'm very thankful for all of you tuning in because I appreciate it. I've gotten some good feedback from you guys. I love it when I've had people tag me on Twitter and had someone last week tag me on Twitter and tell me that I was a welcome addition to the Player Profiler family. And I appreciate that. It means a lot to me because it's a grind. It's a grind. And anytime I get feedback like that, it makes not just my day, the entire month. So I appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. And I hope that everything that I do, I hope you guys enjoy my content and enjoy my show. And I hope that I help you out. Enough sentimental talk. We'll dive into the hot topics of the week. We'll go ahead and we're going to kick things off with our thumbnail, if you're watching on YouTube, our thumbnail player of the week. We'll call him that. It is Dak Prescott. I want to talk about Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys because, as you guys know, no fantasy analyst is perfect. If they claim to be perfect, they are lying to you. It's not physically possible. It's not physically possible to be 100% right in fantasy football. It's not even physically possible to be like 90% right in fantasy football. Even that is way, way, way pushing the line. I like to consider myself, you know, as close to perfect as possible, but that's in theory. That doesn't happen in reality. And I have wrong takes sometime. So as much as I'll sit there and, you know, love to not victory lap when something's right, but you know, to say like, hey guys, you know, we got this correct. I'm 100% comfortable with saying, hey, I got this wrong. And Dak Prescott is someone who I 100% got wrong. And I would like to issue a public apology to him from a fantasy football perspective. I knew your game. I recognize your game. I knew your game. It wasn't you. It was Mike McCarthy. You were a 100% fade for me, Dak, in fantasy football. I was 100%, no shares of Dak recommended. Do not draft, do not draft. Red flags, like everywhere. And all of that had to do with Mike McCarthy. No offense to Dak, you know, or doubting his talent or him as a player. The problem was that Mike McCarthy, obviously, the parting of Kellen Moore was very, very, I don't want to say dramatic, but very, very direct. There was not a lot of mystery around it. Mike McCarthy publicly stated that his issue with Kellen Moore was that Kellen Moore was pushing too fast-paced of an offense, and it was affecting their team because they were just pushing, you know, quick scores, points, and it wasn't allowing their defense proper rest. And everything that he indicated, I mean, Mike McCarthy wasn't really making that up. Was it an issue? I don't really think that was a major issue, but statistically, they ran a ridiculous amount of plays last season. So if he felt that was the issue, I mean, it did factually happen. So everything that he said just really indicated that Dak was going to be a bust, that they were going to slow down the offense, that they were going to rely on the run, that there was still going to be pass volume, but they weren't going to be pushing aggressive scoring. They were going to try to extend drives, right, in order to give the defense a rest so that they could rely on their defense. So unfortunately, the whole situation just read as a bust situation to me. And in all fairness to me, I was 100% correct through the first 5 weeks of the season. Let's look at the splits here because it's very, very definitive. There was a direct split between the first five games and then weeks 6 through 12. When you look at the first five games of the year, it was exactly what I predicted. Dak weeks 1 through 5 was QB 24. In average points per game, averaging 11.8 fantasy points per game. QB 24. It was dire. CeeDee Lamb was low volume. He had one high volume game. Outside of that, low volume, obviously we know what happened there in terms of CeeDee finally speaking out in frustration. And, you know, Dak had five touchdowns. Four interceptions, and for perspective, just so we understand how drastic that is, Kirk Cousins had 13 touchdowns weeks 1 through 5. 13. And four interceptions. 13. Josh Allen and Tua both had 11 touchdowns and five interceptions. So obviously the interceptions were not a major issue for Dak. It was just the touchdowns weren't there. The volume wasn't there. Everything was just so low volume. And then we have this break here in week 6. From week 6 through week 12, Dak is QB1 in average points per game, averaging 27.5. Next closest player is Jalen Hurts at 25. Dak has a total of 18 passing touchdowns and just two interceptions. And I can't even tell, I could say, you know, and this player has this and this player has this, but quite frankly, it's not even close. It's not even close. Dak has dominated not a traditional pocket passer, but obviously when you're looking at touchdowns, a guy like Jalen Hurts and, you know, Lamar Jackson, they're adding volume on the ground as well. From a passing perspective, Dak is absolutely destroying the rest of the league. And, you know, it's crazy that there was that level of a flip. And again, it goes back to Mike McCarthy and why I was wrong on this take, because I was 100% correct at the beginning of the season. What I underestimated here is that Mike McCarthy is not a man who, how do we say this? Mike McCarthy is not Arthur Smith. Mike McCarthy is not somebody who apparently could look at a situation and say, nope, this is my way, the highway, we're going down with the ship. Oh no, Mike said, I'm not losing my job. Y'all don't think this is working? Nobody likes this? Okay, we can pivot. I can give you volume. I can give you passing touchdowns. I can design an offense. We can change this. I can fix this. Don't worry. If you got an issue with me, I'm not getting fired. I'm flipping the script. And that is what he did. I underestimated Mike McCarthy's willingness to pivot and deviate from a plan that straight up wasn't working. And I'm impressed. Like, I will give you that, Mike McCarthy. And I'm a Packers fan, guys, you know that. And so sometimes when I look at Mike McCarthy, you know, I look at through him, I look at him and, you know, I give him crap. I give him shit because, you know, sometimes things he did in Green Bay were not the most ideal. Is he the best coach in the world? No, I don't believe that. But I'm impressed with what he did here, and I will give him that. I cannot look at him in the rest of the season and, you know, find any flaw with the way that he has coached this team. Highly impressive. Instead of acting like Arthur Smith and being arrogant and saying that it is his way or the highway and we're sticking to what we got, no. Mike McCarthy said, I can make this work. If you guys aren't happy, CD, if you're not feeling it, we will change this. And the result was absolute domination. It is so, so impressive. Production for CD Lamb has been incredible since that point. Dak has been a monster. We've even got Brandon Cooks coming back to life here. The offense as a whole, even with Tony Pollard getting back on track as well, just I'm impressed, and you got to look at them and wonder what they can do through the remainder of the season if this offense keeps functioning as is. Are we looking at Dak for a potential MVP candidate if he keeps putting up this volume? Are people talking about it? I don't feel like they are. But if you look at the statistics and the flip and the split, it's clear he is operating at a level that no one else is. It's highly impressive. And if he can keep this up, I think you have to put him in the conversation. I think you have to. So yes, that is my public apology. I'm sorry, Dak. I was familiar with your game. I won't say I wasn't familiar with it. I was familiar with your game. I just did not think that Mike McCarthy really respected it. So kudos to Mike McCarthy. Shout out to Dak. Very, very apologetic. And happy that he has been able to recover from the rough start to the season. But before we dive in and go on to our next topic, we are going to hear a word from our sponsor.
It has been 2 years since Josh Larkey paved the way for fantasy gamers to start expecting positive returns from Pick'em games, specifically Underdog Pick'ems. And how do you do it? Well, you look at the slate and you find a great shootout or a sneaky shootout. You also look for a shit show game. 3, 4, 5, 6 guys in one game. That's right. You can do it. You can do it. And you can 100x your payout on Underdog. Think about week 1. Jets Bills was a shit show. Did we see the Aaron Rodgers injury coming? No, but we knew the Jets have a good defense. We knew the Bills have a good defense. Why not expect the worst? And the worst is what we got. So if you had gone Dalvin Cook less than, Garrett Wilson less than, Aaron Rodgers less than, Josh Allen less than, Gabriel Davis less than, boom, 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 you can go 6 for 6. Same thing in week 2. Oh, week 2. Oh, sneaky shootout there in Philadelphia. Minnesota's going to be in comeback mode. So we'll go Cousins, Jefferson, Hawkinson, more than, Madison, less than, but also Swift, more than. Boom, 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 boom. That's how you do it with the Underdog Pick'ems, and you use promo code UNDERWORLD to get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. You put in $100, Underdog matches that deposit up to $100 with promo code UNDERWORLD. Go start picking.
All right, moving on to our next topic here. Yeah, so we're, you know, on the topic of Dak and his flip from the first portion of the season to the rest of the season, we're going to talk about something else that flipped. And we'll talk about these quick and try and get through all of this information because it actually was like a really packed week. But I want to talk about flips in defenses, a couple of defensive trends that we have here. From two teams, Detroit and Chicago. So Detroit is a defense that is very interesting because I feel like people kind of look at it and misread the Detroit defense. Because obviously at the end of last season, they made a drastic, kind of like from the mid portion of last season through the end of last season. And then to start off the beginning portion of this season, they made drastic changes and drastic improvements in their game. It became stout, difficult against the run. And that has not changed. On the ground, they are still a no-go against the run. Looking at statistics from running backs that are facing them, and granted, it's not like they have been playing absolutely fantastic running backs. You know, we've got AJ Dillon that here that they faced in week 12, poor performance out of him. The Chicago backs, now granted, Donta Foreman went out early in the game, but Chicago backs did, you know, middling against them, nothing impressive at all, nothing to write home about. Even Josh Jacobs, 15 carries, 61 yards on them, did get a touchdown. Touchdowns come few and far in between. It's not super common. You're not going to see at all multiple touchdowns out of running backs on the ground against Chicago. I mean, against Detroit. They're really just a no-go on the ground. But through the air, I need people to accept that they're an excellent, excellent defensive matchup. They're a high volume matchup here. Their offense, obviously, fantastic. With Jared Goff throwing for volume, to Amon-Ra St. Brown, Sam Laporta coming through. Occasionally, Jameson Williams giving us a little something. You know, one of the best tandem running backs in the league in terms of David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. Their offense is so, so good that when they're pushing volume, when you have to, you know, keep up with them, or even if they're not putting up volume early, you feel like you have to attack aggressively through the air. And that's the way that teams are approaching them. They're not approaching with heavy volume on the ground. They're approaching with heavy volume through the air. We had Jordan Love, his two best games, actually. Yeah. His two best games statistically in terms of pass yardage have come against Detroit. He had an excellent game last week. He had a fine yardage game earlier in the season when they played. Who else lit them up? The Justin Herbert lit them up. Lamar Jackson lit them up. This is a team that is just incredibly, incredibly vulnerable through the air. So pay attention to that when you're looking at them and you're thinking of them as a as a streaming option, or you're trying to figure out if it's a no-go for them. Please understand the trend with them is that it's perfectly fine to play quarterbacks and receivers against them. And it's the running backs that you want to avoid. Now, looking at Chicago, that I didn't intend to pick two NFC North teams. That was that was not intentional. We could have brought up Denver, but I think I've talked about the defense flip with Denver as well. And I think we all accept that. But one that I don't know that people have accepted or really tuned into yet is Chicago. I don't know if people have really, really tuned into the changes that are happening over there with Chicago's defense. I hated this Monday night matchup between Minnesota and Chicago. I knew it was going to be a defensive battle. There was just the offense just was not going to be good on either side, unfortunately. And that is because, you know, I think we've all come to accept that Minnesota's defense is, you know, obviously much better than we thought it was going to be heading into the season. But Chicago's defense has been very strong as of recent. And I think the trade that they made for Montez Sweat has been very valuable for their team. Now, granted, you know, the kudos to their organization because these trades are really, really helping them out. And I think this Montez Sweat one was really, really key here. I'm not an IDP expert. I might have mentioned this on the show before, but I play in one IDP dynasty league. And Montez Sweat was just absolutely lighting it up from an IDP perspective in Washington, just teeing off, right? And then the move over to Chicago, there were, I think, at least two, maybe three, but two for sure, just terrible games. Yeah, it might have been three. terrible games from an IDP perspective. And I'm, you know, watching the Chicago games and I'm sitting there and I'm just frustrated. And I'm like, did they really just trade for this man and destroy his IDP value? Thank God he had a bounce back game Monday night. But the effect that he's had on that defense is so, so clear. Their pass rush is just better. No quarterback since the trade for Montez Sweat. The last game without Montez Sweat was the Chargers game, where obviously Justin Herbert had an excellent game against them. But since then, no quarterback has thrown over 236 passing yards against them. I think that you need to start approaching Chicago and looking at them as a matchup that isn't really one that you want to attack, especially through the air. They had their ups and downs earlier in the season, but they were allowing like strong yardage to Justin Herbert. I mentioned Sam Howell absolutely teed off on them, and Patrick Mahomes had an excellent game against them. And since that trade, things are just looking different. And this defense as a whole, I don't even think it's matchups either. I mean, Jared Goff really kind of struggled against them as well. Interceptions, it was a very non-Jared Goff game. But I really think that the pass rush there is something that has been greatly affected by the addition of Montez Sweat. And we cannot look at Chicago as a good matchup anymore. The run game is interesting because obviously there have been multiple running backs who even since the trade have had strong performances. The Detroit running backs had very, very strong game against them on the ground. But outside of that, their run defense has been pretty strong too. So kind of looking at the Chicago defense, you need to start treating it differently moving forward. So just kind of think of that after the bye week here and how we're approaching them, because this is a situation where if you can catch wind of these defensive trends, you can be ahead of the game. I spoke about this with Denver earlier. I did. If you go back to, I wish I could remember exactly what episode it was, but there is an episode where I spoke about the defensive trends in Denver and how we needed to start approaching them differently. And if you can monitor these situations, then that's something that I do. I look at a lot of, not just from a fantasy perspective, but also at player props, and monitoring these defensive trends is how you get ahead of the game here. So these are two things that you really have to pay attention to: Detroit and Chicago, the way the defenses are functioning, because if you can get the head ahead of the game in terms of how you're looking at them, you're miles ahead from a fantasy perspective. So just keep that in mind. Moving on to our next topic. I want to talk about Tua. We'll do it quick because I don't want to rain on Tua's parade, unfortunately. This was another one where maybe a month back, we had a mailbag question around Tua versus Justin Fields. Unfortunately, Justin Fields got injured, so that kind of blew that up in the air. But injury aside, Tua's value compared to Justin Fields, the assessment was 100% correct that Tua was not the guy that you wanted long-term in this situation. And Tua was a fine sell high candidate. Unfortunately, he's not anymore. You might be past the trade deadline. And even if you aren't, you're probably not in a position where anyone is looking at Tua and wanting to buy. Maybe from a dynasty perspective, they're thinking they can buy low. But outside of that, we got to talk about what you can do about Tua. Because again, I warned you, the problem here with Tua is that while he is a fine quarterback, this is like not a crap onto a kind of situation. It is a fantasy perspective conversation that we got to have around Tua and that we've had around Tua. The problem is that he's a pocket passer, man. And when you get into these matchups with these difficult defenses, he does not have the ability to Jalen Hurts his way out of there. He can't do it. He can't. So you get a very ugly floor that you can predict when it's going to happen. And because we can predict when it's going to happen, I hate to break it to you, you got 2 weeks to figure out what to do here. We've got 2 weeks here. I don't have the schedule pulled up in front of me, but We've got two strong games here for Tua. Washington this week, and then I can't off the top of my head remember what the next one is. Maybe Tennessee. That might be it. Don't quote me on that. But we've got two good matchups for Tua. So you've got 2 weeks to figure it out. You can roll with him. Trust him this week. Because I did get a question in terms of from someone who's frustrated with Tua and the production that he's had over the past couple of weeks and is saying, do I just bench him now? Not for this game. We're not benching him or anybody against Washington. It's a good matchup here. So we're rolling with Tua again. But unfortunately, once these 2 weeks are up and we get into the playoff schedule, he's not usable. I would not recommend him as a start. He will be outside of top 12 quarterback in my QB rankings. Maybe even a little bit further back. I can 100% guarantee that I will not recommend Tua as a start in the fantasy playoffs against the New York Jets. We just saw what happens when he plays the New York Jets. It was what? 9-10 fantasy points, unfortunately. Then we have, what's after that? We have Dallas after that. Do I want to start Tua against the Dallas defense? Absolutely not. Now, granted, we did see how and we'll kind of mention this later. Tip my hat a little bit on a topic that we have coming up. But we did see a player like Sam Howell have a good game against Dallas. But he didn't do it. Well, granted, he had volume through the air. But what saved him was a touchdown on the ground. Tua's not getting that. I don't think that we'll have a strong, usable game out of Tua against Dallas. And then you have Baltimore. Am I starting Tua against Baltimore's defense? No, absolutely not. The only thing you could hope for is that Baltimore goes on a hot streak. And by week 17, maybe they don't have to start everybody because they've already locked up what they need to lock up. That's the only situation that you could get to. I can't see myself starting Tua in the fantasy playoffs. And to that extent, you need to start thinking ahead, looking ahead, and figuring out who your quarterback is for the fantasy playoffs, because it's not Tua. It's not Tua. So if your trade deadline hasn't passed, get something. Figure it out. Get you a volume quarterback. Look at schedules. See if there's good streaming options there. Get ahead of the game here, because you don't want to be caught. If you're a good lock for the fantasy playoffs, you don't want to be caught with Tua in the playoffs, unfortunately. Moving on to a happier topic, though. Sorry, Tua. Again, it's just a fantasy perspective. I'm sorry. I like Tua. It's not a dislike here. Although the good thing to note here is that it was good to see. Sorry, you'll notice this time, pause on the Tua situation. You'll notice that for some reason, I cannot kick illness over the past 2 months. I had zero cough yesterday, was feeling good, no issues, woke up, and of course, it was like, oh man, great, back again. I'm not dealing with the weather change here good in Houston and germs from children. It's not a good couple of months for me. Yeah, so sorry about the constant muting to coughing. My apologies to everyone. So if you're listening on the podcast and you're like, there's a momentary silence, it is just me coughing for a split second. But back to Tua. The good takeaway here we had was I'm never worried about Tyreek, right? I'm never worried about Tyreek. I was worried about Waddle. I was worried about Waddle and if he would be the... How do I say this? I was worried about Waddle and if he would suffer in tandem with Tua Tagovailoa, because his production is more closely tied to Tua. Tyreek doesn't need Tua to have a good game or high volume game in order to have a Tyreek type of day. He can have a strong performance regardless. Jalen Waddle's production, however, much more closely tied to Tua. So this was good to see that even in a tough matchup against the Jets, he could still put up a strong performance. And, hopefully that can continue for him and he'll be unaffected in the fantasy playoffs. So that is the good news there with Tua. And unfortunate for him, but happy for Jalen Waddle. All right there. Moving on to our next topic, a happier topic here. It is Pat Freiermuth. 9 receptions, 11 targets, 120 yards. Is the Muth back? Is he back? And are we trusting him? And this week, he's got Arizona, a team that was lit up by Tyler Higbee, of all people, who, by the way, has been having just one of the most underwhelming fantasy seasons after we thought that he was going to step up. Puka Nacua destroyed him in his value, unfortunately. But even before then, when Cooper Kupp was out, I mean, you just couldn't rely on Higbee. Regardless, sidebar there on Higbee. Absolutely lit up Arizona. So when we're looking at Pat Freiermuth, how are we trusting him moving forward? Because this was the first, this was the post-Matt Canada game. It was a joyous occasion for all of us. I know y'all were excited. I know I was. And it's great. I don't even have that many fantasy ties to the Pittsburgh offense other than Pat Freiermuth. Not a ton of investment in none at running back, just, generally speaking. But just from a football perspective, it was just very frustrating watching this offense with a fantastic head coach, watching this team be held back so very clearly by Matt Canada. And to have them enter their post-Matt Canada era on a win, on the offense looking much better. It wasn't a big, exciting game, right? But the offense just looked and flowed better. Even Najee Harris was looking better. Kenny Pickett had his best game of the season. And I know that's, it wasn't a fantastic game. But when we're looking at Kenny Pickett, we got to put it on a different scale, right? We went on the Kenny Pickett scale. It was like a 7. So good for him. So looking at this, I'm actually going to put us in a mailbag question here, since it is on topic. Mailbag question from Dan Marcus. Rank these tight ends rest of season: Goddard, Njoku, Kmet, and Freiermuth. Now, obviously, we've got Dallas Goddard, who is trying to come back supposedly this week. Dallas Goddard is crazy, right? You know, broken forearm, we're thinking IR and whatnot. But if you remember, I don't believe they put him on IR last year when he had his injury. And their reasoning was he just heals better. Do you guys remember that story? that he just heals quicker than other people. So I'm kind of not shocked that we're potentially getting Dallas Goedert back here. So again, this is contingent on, Dallas Goedert really coming back like this week or even next week. But ranking these tight ends rest of season, oddly enough, you might be surprised to know this, but it is David Njoku that I have ranked the highest. And that is based off volume. I've been getting some sage advice in terms of, looking at fantasy players and volume. We know volume is king, but sometimes we overlook it. And volume is absolutely there with David Njoku. And technically it always has been. It's just that when he's on the field, he performs well. We've just always had shaky situations in terms of him actually being on the field, unfortunately. So looking at Dallas Goedert, obviously, this is a situation where I think he slides in right after David Njoku, because the way that we're approaching this is we're looking at this in terms of guys that have the most upside and the most volume at tight end. We want to look for volume with tight ends. So David Njoku, the clear volume target hog here. And I don't know if that's going to change. Now, we do have the wrinkle, obviously, of potential different quarterbacks rest of season. But regardless of that, I think that he is the most consistent option within that offense. Then we've got Dallas Goedert. Then I think that Pat Freiermuth is the next one that I want. Because we're hoping here. We're hoping that this is not just a matchup situation and a blip and an anomaly. We're hoping that they walk away from this game and say, our offense just was better and we need to continue down this path. And you look at the reliability that you have in Pat Freiermuth. Again, we talked about it, 9 receptions, 11 targets. That's a luxury when you've got Deontay Johnson out there throwing fits and dropping passes, playing sloppy. And, you know, George Pickens with the history of the drops as well. So, yeah, if they can look at this objectively and realize that Pat Freiermuth, you know, maybe this offense should, in terms of pass volume, run more directly through him. I could see him pushing his way up above Goddard, but I need to see it one more. So he's ranking third there for me. And then Cole Kmet is coming up dead last in this one, unfortunately. And that one was a pretty easy decision for me because, again, he is the lowest volume option here. Touchdowns are what really carry. Now, granted, he's not a risky option. So by no means am I saying that you can't start him. He's still a tight end one for me. But he is the lowest tight end one in this grouping. And it's unfortunately because he is more touchdown dependent and high volume. The, you know, a 9 target, 120 yard game for Cole Kmet. It's just more difficult to achieve for him. When you look at his statistics over the past month, it's not a ton of yardage, a ton of volume. So that's the only issue there. So that is how I rank them rest of season. David Njoku, Dallas Goedert, Pat Freiermuth, and then Cole Kmet, with the possibility of Freiermuth and Goddard being flipped if we this week see the continued uptick in volume for him. Cross our fingers. All right, moving on to our next topic, we're going to pit stop here because there were several mailbag questions here for quarterback streamers. I've got a ton of questions for streaming options in week 13. Obviously, we've got 6 teams on a bye, 4 legitimate starters from a fantasy perspective on a bye week here. The struggle is real, and you could be looking for QB streamers this week in week 13. And we'll start off with a question from the FF Chef, whose comment here is my quote, "My biggest dilemma is Howell versus Miami or Russ at Houston." I feel like I'm overthinking it here. Maybe that's why I have a headache today. Well, hopefully this answer will take your headache away because it is Sam Howell. And I get why you're overthinking it. I get it. Because again, you know, Howell, his game was excellent for me. I say excellent. It was perfectly fine from a fantasy perspective. I'm not walking away from that start and being disappointed with the output that he gave. I felt super comfortable with it. The problem here is that it was saved by a rushing touchdown, but that's 2 weeks in a row that he's done that. And I don't think that it's fluky here. So we're talking about, you know, he had, you know, a good volume game, 28 passes on 40 attempts, or 28 completions on 44 attempts, 300 yard game against Dallas. That's fantastic. Obviously the touchdowns weren't rolling through. He was saved by a rushing touchdown, but again, that's 2 weeks in a row where that's happened. And I don't think it's fluky. I think he's just one of those quarterbacks, and I'm not saying he's Patrick Mahomes, but I want you to just kind of put this in perspective. When you think about Patrick Mahomes, the reason why Patrick Mahomes traditionally this year has been another story, but obviously traditionally has been so reliable from a fantasy perspective without the rushing upside is that, now granted, he does have rushing upside, but without that aggressive rushing upside is that when the Chiefs get into the red zone, he wants to be involved in every single play. He is the dominating force within the red zone. He wants the touchdowns to go through him. And I think Sam Howell has that quality in him. Not saying that he's Patrick Mahomes. I'm saying conceptually, I think he has that same kind of quality where he gets in the red zone, he wants it to go through him. And it makes sense that that is happening here when you consider the fact that Eric Bieniemy, right, is now his offensive coordinator. So conceptually, it makes sense that Bieniemy would be operating with Howell that same way. We get in the red zone, it's going through our quarterback, because that was the same thing that Kansas City did with Patrick Mahomes. So it makes sense that that is transitioning over here to Washington. So I think he's just one of those quarterbacks that is going to dominate in the red zone. And I'm encouraged here that his floor has kind of settled in around 18 fantasy points. We've seen stability here. And while maybe from a real football perspective, we're not getting the stability, but from a fantasy football perspective, absolutely. Now, granted, Miami's defense is on the rise, so this is not a layup matchup by any means. But they are going to have to throw because we talked about Tua, and this is, you know, you're starting him this week because it's an excellent matchup and he is going to light that Miami defense up. It's going to be, if it's not a massacre, good God, something goes wrong. I think it's going to be a massacre. And Sam Howell is going to have to throw for volume to just try to keep up. They could keep it close. I do think that Washington, I think that he is capable of that. But this, you know, we talked about defensive trends earlier. Bear in mind, Miami's defense trending on the rise because they're much healthier now. Jalen Ramsey is back. Their secondary is just functioning so much better. And just keep that in mind. But I'm still rolling with Howell because of the fact that I do think that touchdown equity comes with him. I do think the volume will be there. I don't hate Russ this week against Houston. Not a bad matchup for him. Again, this could be another game where we see kind of that back and forth because between two teams that are obviously, you know, on the rise, interesting enough, in the AFC. But Denver's defense is an incredibly tough matchup. I don't know that this is going to be a super high volume game. I don't think Russ is going to have to push aggressive volume through the air. And so while Russ is not a bad streaming option this week, Howell is definitely the preferred option here. Moving on to other streaming options. Again, this kind of encompasses like five streaming questions that I got this week. Water break there. This kind of encompasses like, you know, multiple streaming options or multiple streaming questions from a mailbag. So people obviously are wondering, who are we streaming for week 13? Very, very common question that I've gotten here. And looking at the list of quarterbacks here that are around 50% rostered or a little bit lower or a tiny bit higher, and then some lower tier options. Obviously, people have wised up to Jordan Love as the top option. And by the time, obviously, waivers have run, unless you've got, I've got a couple of leagues where waivers run on Thursday, and I'm thankful for those because it kind of gives me a little bit of a break to not have to do everything on the same night. So I don't hate Thursday waiver runs, but Jordan Love has obviously, people have wised up that he is a legit weekly streaming option. You can't turn your nose up to Jordan Love. He is the top option. If you have him, he's a fine streaming option this week. If you're in a shallow league and he's on waivers, that's the top one for you to grab. Then surprisingly, people are going to be a little bit shocked at this one of who my next streaming option would be. It's Matt Stafford. And that might be a little surprising to people because it might be a little bit surprising to people because when we're looking at Matt Stafford, this is not a good matchup here. But sometimes I feel like we overthink because I just was reading the question from from at the FF Chef. Sometimes I'm going to use it anyway. Sometimes I think we overthink trying to dance around quarterbacks in tough matchups. And sometimes it is better just to go with the stable known option. And Matt Stafford is the stable known option surrounded by offensive talent. And this offense can get back to more of what it was because obviously we've got Kyren Williams back and we saw how Kyren Williams was in his return. Good Lord, Jesus Christ. I should have made him. Why did I not make Kyren Williams our namesake for the show? I should have done that. We didn't even talk about Kyren Williams. Welcome back, Kyren Williams. Good Lord. Too little too late for one of my fantasy teams, but thank you for returning and just showcasing absolute dominance there. Congrats to him and his return. But the offense, though, with Kyren Williams back, I think is going to be a lot more stable. They're going to be able to attack on the ground. They're going to be able to move the ball effectively. And when we're looking at Matt Stafford, I think he's a fine streaming option to get you potential low end QB1 numbers, high end QB2 numbers. And on a week like this with the buys, high end QB2 numbers, that's perfectly fine. We don't have to be picky. Moving on to the next streaming option. I don't hate Kenny Pickett against Arizona. Obviously, you know, we just talked about Matt Stafford last week. The multiple touchdown passes to Tyler Higbee. We talked about that as well. So Arizona, it's a good matchup. Kenny Pickett again. We talked about him earlier. I guess I'm just talking about these people. We talked about Kenny Pickett earlier in, you know, his fine, you know, decent performance, his best performance of the year last week post-Matt Canada. I don't dislike Kenny Pickett in this matchup. This is obviously a situation where the attack for Pittsburgh will be heavy on the ground against Arizona because that's the most logical thing to do. But that could also benefit Kenny Pickett if the ball moves well up and down the field and he can have touchdown opportunities as well. And then another one super low end, low rostered option, less than 10% in fantasy leagues. Keep your eyes on Jake Browning. I didn't hate what I saw out of Jake Browning. And obviously there were several passes that were very errant and saved by Ja'Marr Chase. But that is the beauty. We can't, like, let's look at this and say, oh, I mean, he was saved Ja'Marr Chase. Saved by Ja'Marr Chase. Look at this and say, ah, that's right. He throws to Ja'Marr Chase. This is not Tommy DeVito coming in here and saying, here's my receiving core of no offense to Darius Slayton, but here's my receiving core of Darius Slayton, you know, Wandell Robinson, Daniel Bellinger, and Jalen Hyatt. No offense to those players, but let's be honest. Are you looking at the quarterback throwing to them, or are you looking at the quarterback throwing to Ja'Marr Chase? We're looking at the one throwing to Ja'Marr Chase. He could also have T. Higgins back. We're also talking about, you know, Tyler Boyd, one of the top wide receiver threes in the league. So keep your eye on Jake Browning. Don't look at that performance and say, because I saw, you know, reports of like, oh, look at this mediocre performance from Jake Browning. Was it mediocre or was this a fine first NFL start? It was a fine first NFL start, in my opinion. Didn't hate the volume. Got a touchdown. Only one interception. Tough matchup, divisional matchup. It could have been worse. I don't hate what I saw. And this week's matchup is against Jacksonville. Jacksonville has been very vulnerable against the pass. This could be a good week for him. I think he's a fine, deep, deep league streaming option. Less than 10% rostered. And keep your eye on him. Even if you're not using him, maybe you get in there, stash him. Because if he has a good game, he's got Indianapolis next week. And then we're talking about an excellent matchup for him as well. So just keep that in mind, because at that point he should also have T. Higgins back as well. So we're talking about him to one of the best receiving cores in the league. Yeah, he's a potential option. So keep your eye on Jake Browning. I am running long on, did I just wax poetically too long about Dak? I don't think I did. It's been a good show, guys. Let me know what you think. And we've been mixing in the mailbag questions as we're going along, but we'll kind of scoot along here and talk about the New York Jets real quick here. Tim Boyle. Yeah, I'll do this super quick. There's a video on my Twitter. You can find it on my Twitter and on my TikTok at It's Tara Time. Where I talk about the New York Jets. It is honestly, let's just sum it up real quick. It is very irresponsible for them to put Tim Boyle on the field again. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Why you would do that. You're trying to stick to your guns and prove something. You're not proving anything. He's a bad quarterback. And we knew this. I spoke about it on last week's episode here. There is zero logical reason. This is not an experienced quarterback. This is not a, not to say that, like, a guy like Colt McCoy is something, like, fantastic, but that's an experienced quarterback, right? That's an experienced quarterback who was a actual starter for a season, who has been a backup quarterback from year after year after year. That's an experienced quarterback. Carson Wentz is an experienced quarterback. Tim Boyle's not an experienced quarterback. I'm sorry. This is like the topic gets me heated because there is no logical reason this man should be starting in the NFL. It's irresponsible. It's illogical and it's frustrating. It's not the same thing. Like we have, at least we have college evidence of Jake Browning and Tommy DeVito actually being shout out the ACC Syracuse, actually being strong, you know, productive quarterbacks in productive quarterbacks in college. Tim Boyle was not even a productive quarterback in college. I'm talking about this way longer than I intended. I'm sorry, but it's frustrating. It's so frustrating. I'm not saying that Zach Wilson is fantastic, but he's better than Tim Boyle. This is irresponsible. This is not right. And with that said, fire up Atlanta's defense. There's going to be a pick six. I feel so certain of it. I mean, statistically, you are legitimately guaranteed to get at least an interception from Tim Boyle. Statistically, it's like, it's a lock. I wonder what the props are on his interceptions. I would have to look that up after this because, yeah. Stream Atlanta's defense. I like Atlanta's defense as a top 10 option. I got questions about this as well. Earlier today, who are we starting Atlanta's defense over? Quite a few. It's a top 10 defense for me this week. A solid streaming option. Go get them for sure. Moving on to injury news. We're not going to dive deep into injury news because there's so many things that are up in the air. And whatever I say right now will be irrelevant in the near future. The only thing that I'm going to touch on is Jonathan Taylor. That is just the most frustrating situation. Let me tell you, I like to talk about my fantasy teams. I'm sure you guys like to talk about yours. Tag me and tell me about yours. I enjoy including my fantasy teams in this. I am in a dynasty league and it's the IDP dynasty league that I talked about earlier where, for some strange reason, and I just can't figure out exactly why. I think my team was just kind of like, it never had the boom weeks. And so it was sitting down in like 10th place in the league. But, you know, the points, I was scoring good points. I just couldn't catch a break. I couldn't get a win. I started off the season without Jonathan Taylor. Had Damian Pierce, Calvin Ridley, just so many frustrating things going on. And my team finally got back on track. It has been on a hot streak, man. On fire. Absolutely on fire. And has risen up to sixth place. And we're in the playoffs. And I'm feeling like, and I was like walking away from this, you know, week. And I'm like, ugh, stretching out like, oh, yeah, we did it. Yay. Got it. You know, mission accomplished. Into the playoffs. I'm going to go on a hot streak. We're going to win. And lost Jonathan Taylor. Oh my God. And there's nothing that you can do right now if you lost Jonathan Taylor. You can't go out and get Zach Moss. He's over 50% rostered. There's like, if you're in a shallow league, obviously you can go and do that, but he's not out there for the majority of us. Unfortunately, it is what it is. So you're in streaming options at running back. I tried to go through and look, guys, and find us some good options. The only one that I can really come to a conclusion on is Samaje Perine. Might be the best direction to go there because his pass volume has been very strong. Last week, it wasn't super strong. He only had one reception, but he did get, you know, carries, got a goal line touchdown as well. So he's had double-digit fantasy points over the past couple of weeks. So from a streaming option, from a streaming perspective, there's not a ton out there that we can really turn to, but Samaje Perine might be someone that you might want to look at because the receiving volume and it's been there the past couple of weeks, and he seems to have unseated Jaleel McLaughlin for that backup role as things were kind of shaky there for a while, but he seems to have got his production steadily back on track. All right, guys. We're going to do a few more mailbag questions to close out the show. As a reminder, make sure that you are subscribed to Player Profiler, and not just if you're looking on the podcast version. Obviously, podcast is, well, you know, fantastic. But also make sure you're checking out the YouTube channel, because there are a ridiculous amount of live shows, tons of questions, start set shows as well, throughout the weekend, right before the Sunday or right before the 1 p.m. games as well. So just make sure that you're, you know, following Player Profiler on YouTube so that you can stay up to date on all of those shows, because they're coming out every single week. So you don't want to miss out on any of them. All right. Closing out with some more mailbag questions from Jason Quinn, 1992 waiver start sit question. Do you like Cleveland's defense rest of season? Schedule is tougher upcoming. Have been writing them this week right now. Jacksonville defense versus Kansas City is available, as well as the LA Rams versus Cleveland, Atlanta versus New York Jets, and Houston versus Denver, as good rest of season as well. So I could have included this one earlier when we talked about the Jets, when I went on my rant. I thought about that, but I wanted to pull it off as an individual question. Because this is more about Cleveland's defense and the fact that I am not tied to Cleveland's defense rest of season. So I think what we have to consider here is a lot more is being asked of Cleveland's defense. Over the past couple of weeks, it's been shakier. And a lot more is being asked of their defense because of their quarterback situation. And rest of season, we don't know what we're looking at, unfortunately. We've got DTR, PJ Walker, Joe Flacco. We don't know truly what we're looking at and how this offense is going to function. And if we don't know how this offense is going to function, we cannot rely on this defense. So I am not super tied to Cleveland's defense rest of season, unfortunately, because while they've obviously given us big boom games in the past, I don't know how many of them we'll be getting them in the future. And honestly, I don't hate them this week, but the problem here, and I talked about it briefly when we, you know, mentioned Kyren Williams can light them up. We've seen a running back, it was Jonathan Taylor, we've seen a running back absolutely light up this Cleveland defense, and the result was is that it ended up being a high volume game. And I kind of feel like that could potentially happen here again, unfortunately. So just be careful. And then we're talking about three straight weeks for the Cleveland defense with these hot streak quarterbacks. Trevor Lawrence, hot streak quarterback, on a hot streak right now. Do I want to start? I don't know if I want to start the Cleveland defense with Trevor Lawrence on a hot streak, Calvin Ridley on a hot streak. I don't know. I'm not super comfortable with it. Justin Fields, hot streak quarterback, can go off. And then CJ Stroud, not a hot streak quarterback, just straight up. You know, does the whole season qualify as a hot streak? No, just straight up a great quarterback. So rest of season, I'm not really feeling Cleveland's defense that much. All of that to get to week 17 with Tim Boyle or Zach Wilson, that's a lot to hold on to. The defense I prefer this week is the Atlanta defense. We talked about it with the Jets. So yeah, I'm comfortable with dropping Cleveland's defense this week. For any of the options, honestly, that you listed, my preference is Atlanta, but any of them really, just because I am not super tied to the potential volatility of their defense with the volatility of their offense moving forward. Got a question here from Adamo. Question here from Adamo 116. Have to replace DJ Moore and Diggs, half PPR, redraft team. Yeah, I've got similar issue. But you've got DeMario Douglas, Christian Watson, and Courtland Sutton to pick from. So Courtland Sutton here versus Houston is the lock. I know last week's game was disappointing for him. I can kind of excuse that there. Not the ideal matchup, unfortunately. But I like him versus Houston. When we're looking at this game, I won't say shootout potential here, obviously, because we talked about it earlier in the defensive battle that this could be with Denver's defense stepping up. But I do think that Sutton and Russ can exploit this Houston defense and get back on track in terms of that nice little touchdown streak that he was on. There's no other threat to him in that offense. When you're looking at Courtland Sutton, sometimes we push him further back in the rankings, and I feel like we have to move him up and trust him a little bit more because he has the volume. He has the targets. Jerry Jeudy, lack of production, lack of touchdowns, lack of everything, not putting up, not going to change, unfortunately. Sutton is the one that we like here. And then between Christian Watson and DeMario Douglas, it's all about what you need here. DeMario Douglas is the safe floor option. I love the matchup for him this week against the LA Chargers. And I think that he is once again, and a lock for double-digit fantasy points. So what I liked and what I loved seeing out of him this past week was I liked the fact that Devontae Parker came back and yet Douglas was still the wide receiver one. So we can feel comfortable with that. His floor is safe here. But if you need the ceiling play, I would go for Christian Watson. Love is on a hot streak. It's a risky play though. So bear in mind, if you need the safe option, it's Douglas for sure. But the ceiling there is definitely with Watson. It's just a risky play versus Kansas City in particular because of the defensive matchup. And we're going to close things out with a couple questions from Revan JJ. Drop Ferguson for Njoku or Pat Freiermuth, PPR. Then start to, okay, let's break it up. We'll start with that one. So drop Ferguson for Njoku or Freiermuth and PPR. I would. Maybe Ferguson's role isn't as consistent as we thought it was. We've got two straight weeks of less than 10 fantasy points and not just below, like dramatically below, unfortunately, like six and then lower than that. And that was after three strong games. I just kind of feel like maybe there's a pattern here with Jake Ferguson and that he's just more streaky than he would like him to be, unfortunately. And especially if we have Brandon Cooks coming on stronger, more consistently, it really does limit the upside for Ferguson and reliability. I prefer both Njoku and Pat Freiermuth to Jake Ferguson. Njoku for sure. That one's not a question for sure. I would prefer to have David Njoku to Jake Ferguson rest of season and this week as well. And then Freiermuth again, we talked about him earlier in the show. He is riskier because I want to see one more week just to kind of verify. But I do am hoping that this production sticks from them because the offense flowed better. So Freiermuth is riskier, but David Njoku would be the preferred option. Second part of the question, start Puka or Deontay Johnson based off the matchup. Start Puka. It's pretty simple for me. I'm worried that we might be on a continued downward trend for Deontay Johnson. I'm worried he might be spiraling. He just kind of seems like he's in his head right now. He's doing, no, granted, drops have been an issue with him in the past, and I've never faulted him for that. That's never made me like just back off of him. But as a whole, there's some things that are starting to worry me. And again, as we just talked about with Pat Freiermuth, I kind of feel like Pittsburgh, logically, now that we've moved away from Matt Canada and have more control over this offense, is logically looking at this and seeing that Pat Freiermuth is just the steadiest option in there. And Deontay could, unfortunately, he has to have extreme volume in the way that he operates because the touchdowns aren't there. So if he doesn't have extreme volume, unfortunately, he's unreliable. So it's Puka that we want to go with. Even though the matchup, I know, based off matchup, you're probably looking at this and saying that we're going with Deontay. But I would still prefer to have Puka, even though the matchup is not ideal. And then the last question, Mostert, White, Kyren, or switch one out for Ramondre or Monty. As of right now, keep it as is. I like it as is. I could flip Mostert out for Ramondre if I'm feeling fancy and Achan is back, and they're saying we got Achan back and he's on a full workload this week. But that would be the only situation where I would do that. But even then, it's just such a strong matchup there for Mostert. I like the way that you have it is as is with Mostert, White, and Kyren Williams. All right, that wraps things up for our show. We went longer than expected this week, but we had really good questions and really good topics. So appreciate you all for submitting your questions. Every week we get fire. We get absolute fire in terms of the content or the questions that people submit. So appreciate that so much. And again, if you have any questions, feel free to hit me up on Twitter, tag me. And just, you know, again, full disclosure, you tagging me throughout the week, that is the easier way to get me. I'm generally a no-go on Sundays. That is not the best time to tag me because I'm doing multiple start sit shows all Sunday morning. You guys know the drill. So tag me if you've got any questions tonight or tomorrow, Friday, even Saturday, and I will answer them. Tag me if I don't get to them as well. Just kind of like knock on my door like, hey, Tara, and I'll get there. If you're listening to the podcast version, please subscribe. It would be greatly appreciated. And if you're listening this on YouTube, be sure to like the video. Drop me a comment below. Let me know what you think. If you have any questions, any start sit question as well, answer that. Or I'll go back and check the chat as well to answer them. And make sure that you're subscribed to Player Profiler as well. And that wraps things up. I appreciate you all joining in. Good luck with your fantasy lineups this week. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. We'll talk to you again next week.